tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Tune in to KBOO tonight at 8 o'clock for Squirrel Snow, the one show where we broadcast galactic awareness and animal awareness, where sometimes we have fascinating conversations with experts, authors, activists in the fields of animal awareness and galactic awareness. And a lot of the time we play amazing music that could effectively raise your frequency of consciousness. Yes, that is Squirrel Snow, tonight at 8 o'clock, here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
Did you know that KBOO is streaming live on the web? Well, you do now. Just type www.kboo.fm, click on Listen Live, and you've got us. Just another example of how KBOO 90.7 FM Portland works for you. It's your community radio.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You're listening to That Vegan Show. I'm your host, Melissa Lesniak. Today, we're going to be interviewing St. Louis Avian Rescue. You know, KBOO has been an important part of my life. It's allowed me to do something I'm passionate about, have a radio show, and also join it together with something else I'm passionate about, which is animals. If you can, go ahead and reach out and support. Okay, so today we have two guests from my hometown, St. Louis. They are with St. Louis Avian Rescue. So first we have Carly Carmesino. She is a member of the board of directors and is currently serving as the event coordinator for STAR, which is St. Louis Avian Rescue. And then we also have Aaron Watkins, who is a foster and a member of the marketing and PR team at STAR. She has also previously served in a variety of leadership roles with the rescue. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Melissa. It's so wonderful. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, this is something this is a topic and these animals I don't know a lot about, so I'm hoping to learn a lot and also spread the word to other people so they can know more about these beautiful animals.
Yes, and that's exactly why we exist, is to advocate for and educate the public about the wonders of parrots.
We are self-professed bird nerds, and we can talk about this all day, so thank you for having us.
Yes, this is going to be great, and Aaron and I were just sharing before we started the show that we kind of have some common connections from Arch Vegans back in St. Louis, so that's really cool.
Yeah, great vegan community here.
Yes. Yep, and it seems like it's really grown so much over the years. Okay, so let's go ahead and dive in. So St. Louis Avian Rescue, when did it begin? Tell us the story about that.
So we call it STAR just for short, so we don't have to keep saying St. Louis Avian Rescue. So STAR began 20 years ago. Our founder, Janet Draper, really kind of saw the need for a rescue that focused on parrots and parrot rehoming. We became incorporated in 2004 as known as Perfectly Precious Parrot Rescue. And then in 2008, we updated our name to STAR St. Louis Avian Rescue, which is what we are now. STAR as an organization is 100% volunteer run from our executive director on down. We are foster based. We have no actual brick and mortar location. All of our parrots in the rescue are within foster homes, so they are with families. And really, our mission is to improve and enrich the lives of parrots. And we want to do that through rescue, through a focus on rehabilitative fostering, through adoption, and of course, education.
Great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to learning about the services you provide and the needs of the parrots and the other birds. And you have a couple of birds with you. Would you like to introduce them?
Yeah, we do. I have Chloe here. She's a Goffin's cockatoo. This young lady is in her mid-20s, and she is a foster right now with Star. So she lives with Carly here, and she is looking for her forever home. She is the sweetest little thing, very cuddly, and just a pleasure to have around.
Yeah. And I have on my shoulder is Littlefoot. He is a mustache parakeet. They come from the highlands of Indonesia. He is about 4 years old. So, yeah, and he's my personal bird. So.
He's a keeper.
Okay. Well, welcome, Chloe and Littlefeet also.
Say hi.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, thanks for bringing them. Okay, so yeah, let's kind of start at the beginning. So there's birds that are being surrendered to you for different reasons. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, and you know, that was really interesting to me, Melissa. I have always wanted a bird in my life and didn't think there was such thing or a need for a parrot rescue. And you know, becoming part of this organization and becoming educated, realize what a huge opportunity this is to provide often misunderstood animals who are intelligent, who are not the easiest to care for, the perfect home or a forever home or a home that understands their needs. So a lot of what Star does is we'll take in a bird that can no longer be taken care of for a variety of reasons. Maybe the family situation changed. Maybe the owner passed away. Some of these birds will live to be 75, 80 years old. It doesn't matter. We've seen really bad situations. We've seen, you know, birds that are very loved. We open our doors to them and we bring them in from a surrender process. We will vet the bird, quarantine the bird, make sure that they're healthy. And we keep them, as Carly mentioned earlier, within a home of another experienced bird caregiver. So from surrender to the point where we're ready to find that family, we assess behavior, we work with them, we are giving them the support and the structure that maybe they haven't always had, addressing behavior and health issues as well. So surrender is the beginning of what is a long process here of services we provide.
Yeah, I had no idea until we talked before that these birds lived to 75 or 80. So that's really a unique type of situation we don't see with other companion animals.
Yes, and Aaron mentioned that you know, the parrots that do come to the rescue come to us from a vast variety of situations, but some of those situations really just are that people will acquire a parrot thinking that they are like a dog or like a cat and not realizing that they are really not domesticated. And then they get into it, realizing they're in too far over their heads and caring for a parrot is really just not within what they wanted for a pet. So we do get a lot of those as well, which is also why we focus so heavily on just education about parrots, about what their needs are and about how they are different from dogs and cats when it comes to the kind of home that they need.
And speaking from experience, so I've been fostering for a few years for Star, and I work primarily with the larger birds, macaws for the most part. And it's very easy to be in a pet store and you see a baby macaw and he's cuddly and he's sweet, and you take him home and suddenly this bird is hormonal, destructive, can be dangerous. I mean, let's be honest, they have very strong beaks and I don't think people realize that. So, you know, as we surrender, we find out the issues that cause the surrender. We also look to find a match in that adoptive home as well, who maybe will understand what it's like to live with a macaw. So there are no surprises and they're prepared mentally, physically, financially for all that's entailed.
Is it better, like, if somebody works from home or is home more versus being out all day at work like so many of us are?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think it depends on the bird and the home environment. There are some birds that just want to be on your shoulder all the time, like sweet little Chloe here. I don't know if she would be a good fit for somebody who wasn't home a lot. There are other birds that maybe they just want to hang out with their other birdie friends, and they're fine all day. That is something that we consider, and we will make that recommendation bird by bird. Like, this is a bird better for somebody who works from home. This bird would prefer the company of another parakeet, for example. So it really depends.
So it depends more on their individual personalities versus maybe mm-hmm. their, like, what type of bird they are.
Oh, yes. And it's incredibly yeah. diverse, both between species and within a single species in terms of their personality.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us more about the foster care and the especially the rehabilitative fostering situations you have?
Yes. So we wanted to be specific in our mission statement about the type of fostering that we do for these parrots. It's not just a home to, you know, keep a parrot alive until we find another adopter for the parrot. The goal is to help that bird. And if there are issues and challenges, that it is a holistic approach to rehabilitate the bird, whether that means identifying what's lacking in their diet and changing that and moving them onto new types of foods, which can be very, very difficult for parrots, or working with them when it comes to levels of anxiety, levels of fear, you know, all sorts of different things. So the goal is to make sure that our foster homes have absolutely all the resources they need really at their fingertips to be able to begin to address some of the challenges that we see with some of the parrots that come in. So it's not just about finding them another home, it's about helping them to be the best bird they can be and then finding them another home.
That sounds like a very involved process where you're really taking the whole bird and their situation and personality into account.
It is. And one of the big things that we do also that we think separates us from some other rescues is that none of our foster families have 10 foster birds in their homes. Nothing of the sort, because we want a foster family to have one, maybe two foster birds that they can focus on and that they can spend a lot of time with, and that will really get the attention necessary to begin to see positive changes in a bird that has challenges. That's a big focus. And of course, because that's a big focus, we are always looking for new foster families as we grow. So,
and to your point, Melissa, yeah, it is a commitment. We are asking a lot of our fosters, but we provide a lot for our fosters too. It's not a financial burden. We will set them up with a cage. One of our volunteers who is an IT professional set up an app for us. It's a foster marketplace where we provide food, toys, cage setup, you know, accessories, et cetera, that they have for free and they have access to, that we are able to provide via donations to STAR as well. We also pay for all veterinary care. So we do ask a lot. We ask for behavior assessments. We ask for updates. We ask for the fosters to maintain veterinary care to help us socialize this bird once it's available for adoption. But at the same time, we offer education to our fosters. We offer, you know, physical resources as well. So it's a give and take, but we're deeply, deeply grateful for the work that our fosters put in. They're truly amazing.
That's really great that you have that app. And I think if someone wanted to do this but didn't have a lot of experience, that providing those resources and education and you know, the cages and everything would be so helpful to make someone not feel overwhelmed, that they could, you know, try it out and be supportive.
Oh yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're very lucky. We've got a very well-connected network. We've got a private page on Facebook just for volunteers. You have a behavioral challenge and you're stuck, I guarantee there's somebody within our network who has faced that challenge before, so we can talk about it and, you know, help them to become better bird owners as well throughout that journey.
Yeah, we have some avian vet techs and mm-hmm. and specialists who work with STAR as well, so they're always an excellent resource kind of at the drop of a hat if you need something, or if any of our fosters need something. Mm-hmm. But we like to encourage our fosters, if they're interested, to take on, you know, birds that might be a challenge. we don't want them to be intimidated by it. We want them to know that if they want to take on a bird that's known to have, distinct challenges, that they'll have the support from us.
Do birds, I guess it's probably individual too, like get along with other companion animals like cats or dogs?
It depends. For the big birds that I usually have in my house, they've never really shown fear to my dogs or cat. I think your little birds here also, they don't care. It's kind of depends on, if they grew up with other animals, what they're exposed to, and their personalities.
Yeah. It also depends on the other animal.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have a dog that could really kind of care less about the birds,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be too scared. But I think they can tell if there's a dog in the room that's very interested in them as a little meal.
Yeah. They are prey animals. So, sometimes we are the predator. So you always have to keep that in mind too. It's not like the relationship that we have with domesticated dog or cat. Truly, we are, different species, and we are maybe not me and you, Melissa, but more carnivorous, right? And then we've got birds here who are at a different end of the food chain.
Let's talk some about the adoption process.
Sure. So we like to think of adoption as a matchmaking, if you will, because what you'll find sometimes is you may see a bird on our website. You're like, oh my gosh, that's my bird, and fall in love. And then meet them in person, and for whatever reason, that bird doesn't like you or you don't have a connection. So we go through a very, very thorough vetting and matchmaking process to make sure that you find your companion that you want to be part of your family for the long run. And what does that involve? It involves filling out an application, a background check. We'll do an interview. We will do a home visit just to make sure, not by any means to be judgy, but to make sure that you have the proper setup and offer advice where needed. A lot of times, and it's happened to myself even, like you may meet a bird and you think like, I really want to adopt this bird, and then that bird hates your guts, or you're just not feeling it. So once you have that application and you're approved, we've got an amazing network of volunteers on our adoption team who will look at what we have in our database, who's available right now, and help you find that perfect bird. There's no rush. There's no pressure whatsoever. It's really finding a good match for you and your family.
So it's kind of like a foster to adopt situation?
Not necessarily.
Or not really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, fosters are certainly welcome to adopt, but it's more like we will recommend, depending on the species of the bird, several visits. So if I have an application for my foster and they've been approved, they may come over a few times and meet the bird before making that decision or before we get the go ahead.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because it sounds like they need time to form a connection and mm-hmm. might not always be a great fit, which I know happens with cats and dogs, but
yeah.
Yes.
Probably not as much, it sounds like.
Well, a lot of times with birds, you just never know. Some of them, when they meet new people, will be on their worst behavior.
Yes.
And some of them, when they meet new people, will be on their absolutely best behavior. But then after they get to know you, they begin to act differently. So that's when the multiple visits, if the adopter would like to have multiple visits, that's when they really come in handy, because you get to know a bird on that deeper level.
And you'll see that that's quite common with bird rescues, that they want more than one visit. We hear feedback sometimes like the process is too long, but it's really, we don't want this bird to come back. We want you to love this bird, and we want this bird to love you. And it's really a best practice when you're adopting out a rescue bird.
Right. It makes a lot of sense, because especially the bird lives a long time or maybe mm-hmm. has been through a lot. I would suspect sometimes you don't know their full history.
A lot of times.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So you are listening to That Vegan Show on KBOO. And I want to remind everyone, all of our listeners, about the special programming on our website, kboo.fm. Now is a great time to become a member of KBOO. Show your support to That Vegan Show and for KBOO by becoming a member today. You can go to kboo.fm/give. We're community funded, so we need your support to get there. So again, you can go to kboo.fm/give, or you can even text KBOO to 44321. 80% of our funding comes from our members. KBOO is 54 years old and one of the oldest community radio stations in the country. It's even a few years older than me. Close, but not quite. So yeah, if you are able to check that out, we would appreciate it so we can keep bringing you this programming that we do. I have been talking with Carly and Aaron from STAR, and we have been talking about all of the work they do with exotic birds and fostering and adoption. And I think we're getting the part we're going to dig more into the education and outreach piece that your organization does.
Last year, we actually had over 250 surrender arrests, which is far above our actual capacity to be able to foster that many birds, which is why education is really at the heart of our outreach programming at STAR. Without education, more birds and parrots will continue to be relinquished. We try to educate the public in a number of different ways. We do a lot of fairs and markets to raise awareness around parrots, parrot care, and why there's a need for parrot rescue. I think a lot of people are surprised that we even exist.
Definitely, I'm surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also do offer free parrot care classes throughout the year. We visit local schools and give talks on parrots and parrot care. And we get involved in like Earth Day events in April. So we're growing this part of STAR. We're still small but mighty. We have increased our educational posts on social media over the past couple of years. We've got Wisdom Wednesdays where we put out new information on parrots each week. We also offer a lot of educational resources on our website. We do a quarterly newsletter. And we are very much working to expand our reach outside of the greater St. Louis area as well. So this radio show is very helpful for us. We're very grateful for the opportunity. But yes, education is really at the heart of it, because the goal is to stop having so many birds and parrots have to be surrendered in the first place, because, you know, people were just simply unaware of what it takes to care for a parrot and unaware of the amount of time that they can live.
And what was really surprising to me once I started learning more about rescue parrots is that the average parrot goes to 7 homes in their lifetime. 7 Wow. times they are rehomed, right? And think about that. I mean, these are a lot of times a creature that mates with another creature for life. And, you know, whatever that reason is, if they're separated, there is an element of trauma there. And that change can be scary. And that happening so many times is really just very sad to think about. So yeah, we try to put the right tools, resources, education out there to help people understand that.
And of course, to encourage adoption,
mm-hmm.
adoption over purchasing,
mm-hmm.
Just because I think that the avian breeding community is just slightly less regulated than mm-hmm. than say dogs are.
Yeah.
So just mm-hmm. the lack of awareness that you're even able to adopt a parrot.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important message to get out, because mm-hmm. I think people probably don't realize that there's a need. So that, you know, that could bring people who already want a bird into adoption, or maybe people who didn't even know there was a need for fosters. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, now they'll be interested in checking it out, thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you know, a lot of times if you purchase a bird from a breeder, maybe you're an adult, maybe you're in your 40s or 50s, and you buy a baby bird who's going to live to be 70 or 80. So I always, I like to recommend, look for a bird close to your age too, especially the ones that share the lifespan that we do, if that's the type of bird you're looking for. And you can be that home and you can grow up together, which I think is very beautiful.
Yeah. Do people like have their birds in their wills? Do you see that?
Yes, they do. There's actually companies that specialize in doing that.
Mm-hmm. And what we see a lot is a bird will be, not a lot, but we will see a bird will to somebody who maybe didn't want that bird. So, you know, luckily there are places like Star that we can step in and we can help find a good home.
Right. Hopefully, in a lot of cases, they're communicating with the people they leave the bird to. But
yes,
that can always, you know, get complicated with wills and things like that. Absolutely. Are any of your do you have education videos online that are like pre-made or?
So we haven't created any educational videos as of yet. We're still working to build up our organization and to build up our funding to be able to do those types of things. It is definitely a goal of ours, here in this year or two. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of great things in place with having supplies available and, you know, good resources for people to reach out to if they need help with the bird they're fostering or adopting.
Yes, we have a network of avian vets here in St. Louis, which our team has worked very hard to put together, and the vets have been fantastic. But our birds only go to vets that specialize in avian care, and it's quite rare. There's not that many vets around that do that. So we have a fantastic network here in St. Louis, and that's where all of our birds get their care.
Great. Yeah, I'm gonna do a little bit of research and I'll add it to the KBOO page about what we have available here in Portland. But I think this information is, you know, kind of universal that you're sharing about the birds, and, you know, will be good information for people to know what's going on and how they can help if they choose to do that. Let's talk maybe a little bit about how some of the behaviors or some of the differences we might see from cats and dogs versus birds. And I mean, of course, they're, you know, yes, cats and dogs are mammals and birds are so there's going to be a lot of differences. So yeah, I'd like to hear more about that.
Yes, that's the interesting part. People love to hear about the difference between dogs and cats and birds and where the challenges are. If you're a bird person, sometimes you think it's fun. If you're not a bird person, it sounds like a nightmare to deal with.
Yes. What's interesting is, I mean, you think about it, a cat or a dog, they're domesticated animals. They've been with us thousands and thousands of years. They love us unconditionally, right? You look at your dog and you know this dog will love you no matter what. It's different for birds. I mean, they're intelligent. You have to earn and build that relationship. And a lot of times we will see birds that maybe have behavioral issues that are far, far beyond what you would see for a dog or cat. I mean, you might have, you know, potty training problems with a dog, or he might chew your shoes up or something like that. Birds, especially the larger parrots, can be destructive beyond comprehension. We know fosters who have had holes chewed in drywall or crown molding. And it's really it's because they will come to us without having in their past the proper setup to learn how to behave and act like a bird. So when we think about addressing behavioral issues, we think about, you know, what are some stimuli or what are some ways of living within the wild that they can mimic in these captive environments that, like it or not, they are a part of now and they will never be able to leave. So dealing with behavioral issues, really key to have enrichment, have stimulation, have a proper diet, have destruct things that they can destroy. I mean, birds in the wild are constantly foraging and building and doing all these different activities. So if we were on camera, we could show you some of Carly's bird cages behind us. They're filled with toys, but a busy bird and a destructive bird is a happy bird. So if you're used to having a dog or a cat who maybe sleeps 18 hours a day and you get a bird, you have to be prepared for an element of chaos when you have them, which for us, we love that.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit more about their diet.
Well, so I just want to add one thing to what Erin was saying about really the challenges. Plucking. Mm-hmm. So when she says they can be destructive to the areas and things around them, but they can also be destructive to themselves. So parrots can turn on themselves and really be self-destructive. I know everyone might have seen a parrot in the past that is a naked bird, naked chicken, doesn't have any feathers on it, or has plucked, you know, all of its feathers out of its chest. That's very common behavior. It can be caused by a number of different things, but sometimes that can be caused by neglect. Mm-hmm. Also screaming. A bird that screams can be heard well down the block, and screaming can be caused by a variety of issues. You know, maybe not enough enrichment, as Aaron was saying. They need a lot to do. They're very intelligent. And when you have a bored bird, you might have a screaming bird that can literally, you know, nearly shatter your eardrum.
I was just going to comment that, like, I have several degrees in psychology and have worked with kids and teenagers for years. So kind of reminding me that, you know, there could be past traumas that we don't know about, and they are still, you know, needing to work through or feel trusted from that. But unfortunately, they can't tell us what they are. We have to kind of figure them out from their behaviors.
That's a great point. Self-destruction can be across species. It shows the depth of the intelligence and psychology of the birds when they do begin self-mutilating. I know I've had several fosters who have come in with severe feather destructive behaviors. We have happy stories where they'll have new growth come in. You're able to modify that behavior. You have some birds who have been doing it for decades, and they're building up these habits and these, you know, endorphin releasing activities that are detrimental to their feather condition, but you're never going to change it. And so, you know, there's a degree of acceptance there. You want to be able to maintain and make sure they don't get worse. Proper baths, proper diet, other different things that they can preen instead of overpreening are key, but sometimes that's something that you're not able to remedy, and that's okay.
Yeah, we would also note too on the diet part is that a proper diet for parrots is incredibly important, especially when it comes to impacting their behavior. A diet can impact them in so many negative ways. Do not put your parrots on a seed diet. Seed diets can lead to a lot of different types of illnesses for them. A lot of seeds, especially seeds like sunflower seeds, are far too fatty for them. So most of our parrots come in on terrible diets, not all, but a lot, come in on pretty bad diets. And we immediately work with our fosters to begin transitioning them to a pelleted diet, which is a, you know, a fortified pelleted diet that keeps them from being malnourished and ensures that they have all the vitamins that they need. We also work on getting them on fresh fruits and vegetables, things that they should be eating every single day. And honestly, transitioning a bird from a bad diet to a better diet is very hard. Some birds will turn around and kind of do it pretty quickly. Other birds, oh boy, it is very difficult. It takes months of time. So that's definitely one of the things that our fosters address straight off when they get a new foster bird.
What kind of fruits and vegetables, or is it just fruits? Do they tend to eat?
It's fruits and vegetables. I mean, parrots can have an incredibly wide variety within their diet. In terms of things you don't want parents to have, it's a lot shorter of a list, but it's similar things to what you don't want your dog eating. Avocado, onion, garlic.
Olives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently goldfish crackers. I know that's not fruits or vegetables, but I would see that. Is that something a lot of birds come in eating?
Yeah, so my very first foster failure, Fred, he came to me from a hoarding situation, and he was fed a terrible diet, basically a lot of human junk food. We're going on 3 years now. He eats his pellets, but that boy still will not eat his veggies. So it's hard, you know, like that. You get a bird who is used to eating a certain way for 10, 20 years, it's going to take some time, but slowly you can get there.
So are people who sell the parrots and other birds telling them, like, here's the seeds they should eat, but it's not really the seeds, or how does that come about?
I mean, clearly not, because most of the people, if they have a bird
that's on a poor diet that they're surrendering, it's not on a poor diet because they're intentionally giving it a poor diet. Usually it's on a poor diet simply because they just were not aware and they just didn't know. You know, they went to Walmart, they bought the big container of bird seed, and that's what their bird's been on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and seemingly fine. Or if their bird does have challenges, they did not connect those challenges to the bird's diet.
Okay.
So it's just lack of awareness, really.
Yeah. Do the birds go like every year or every 6 months to the vet? Usually, so, or only
they go to the vet within the first 2 weeks that they come into the rescue. They have a vet appointment and they get their standard checkup. Depending on the type of bird, they'll get blood work done and things like that. And then we recommend that the adopter take them annually for a checkup. And of course, if there's a need, more often, but annually at the minimum.
I guess I was just wondering if, you know, the vet is a good place to find out about better nutrition too, but maybe other people who haven't gone through your process don't know to take the bird to the vet every year.
A lot of people don't for some reason. It's, you know, that you need to vet your dogs and cats, but people don't think that's necessary for birds. I've had several fosters who maybe have never been to the vet or been to the vet one time when they first bought them. So yeah, it's very, very important because a bird, again, is a prey species. If they are sick, they are prone to hiding that because they don't want to appear vulnerable in the wild to predators. So a lot of times, and it's really sad, by the time you get the bird to the vet, it may be that the illness is too far down the road.
Right. Okay, is there anything more about the diet you want to touch on?
Well, I think there's more to touch on when it comes to how the diet can impact a bird's behavior. And we can talk a little bit about parrots and biting, because I think that's something that people are always makes them intimidated about parrots or scared of parrots, or they're always wondering how people handle that if they have a biting parrot, especially if it's a large parrot.
You've seen some cases where the nutrition improved and mm-hmm. it helped with the aggressiveness.
Yes, for sure. It helps with aggressiveness. It helps with anxiety. And it might have just been that they were just missing some vitamins that they needed in their diet.
It's got to be a holistic approach. It's got to be the proper environment, the proper diet, the proper stimulation, the proper enrichment. We've had so many birds that are surrendered because they're aggressive. They're not aggressive. I mean, you think, again, you have a prey animal is not going to be aggressive to a human. They're reacting. They're reacting to trauma, or they're reacting to fear, or, you know, the wrong kind of stimulation. So it's really... It's not that they're asserting dominance or they're trying to hurt you, but you really have to think about why that parrot is reacting that way, how they would react in the wild, and help to modify that behavior. So I can tell you about my macaw Fred that I adopted. When I first took him in, he wasn't socialized and he was very, very prone to biting if you got within his space. And after having some pretty nasty bites on my hands, started working on building his confidence with a lot of training, structure, good food, lots of toys, which he wasn't familiar with in the past. And it took a few years, but now we have a very sweet, engaged bird with a big personality and who loves attention and affection. So it's really about learning, like, how would they react in the wild? How can I provide the correct antecedent or, you know, behavior that they can respond to in a healthy way?
Yeah, it really just keeps reminding me of humans and how, like, now people are becoming more aware that certain vitamin deficiencies can impact your mental health. And that's the same mm-hmm. thing you're talking about with the birds too. It's really yeah. fascinating.
And so much with birds that come in and people, you know, will say I'm surrendering them because they're quote unquote aggressive. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we'll find once we begin working with the bird is that they just weren't picking up on the, mm-hmm. on the cues that the bird was giving. Mm-hmm. Being able to read your bird's body language is incredibly important, and it's very subtle. So it might take you a little while,
A lot of times birds are different, but being able to read those cues to understand the information that your bird is passing on to you with his body language is really important. And if you miss the cues, sometimes that can cause biting.
Mm-hmm. Right, that makes sense. I'm going to talk a little bit more about KBOO. Just to let you know, KBOO has trained thousands of people on how to make radio all for free, thanks to the support we receive from our members. And we're also independent, community supported, and a volunteer powered radio. So we have that in common there. I think we do have a few staff, but primarily we are all volunteer like Star is. So if you are interested in becoming a member, you can text KBOO to 44321, or you can go to kboo.fm/give. We have been talking to Carly and Aaron from STAR, St. Louis Avian Rescue in St. Louis, Missouri, where I am from, and they've been telling us all about the different birds they work with and the programs they have, very comprehensive educational programs and support for fosters and adopters. So thank you for being here again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And I think I've kind of skipped around on you on what we were talking about. So
if there's
anything from over here that you wanted to...
Yes, my thought was, so we've talked about some of the challenges that come in with our parrots, but we want to make sure that everyone is aware of why we love them and why we love having them as companions and what makes them a great pet if you're a quote-unquote parrot person. You might be a parrot person and you don't know it.
It can happen.
Yeah, I know my dad had parakeets when he was growing up, but I don't remember. I don't think they had them anymore when I came along, but I remember him telling stories about it. So yeah, you never know. I have too many cats.
So. It'd be a conflict.
They keep me busy. I think they're kind of in between dogs when we were talking about like dogs are unconditional love and cats are kind of in the middle, maybe.
Yeah. thinking about why I love having birds, that is part of it too. You know, it's not taken for granted. You can't take them for granted. You earn that level of trust and respect. And what you get out of it is a really fulfilling relationship with an extremely intelligent and emotionally intelligent animal who is potentially going to be with you for decades. They're so smart. They're funny. I think my birds love to dance, love to sing. They have senses of humor. They talk, you know, that's always a benefit when they're speaking your language, literally. If you have that, if you understand that commitment and you want to put the work in, they're such wonderful companions to have, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the heartbreaking things about cats and dogs is that you lose them. And so this, and of course nothing's guaranteed, but this, could be a lifelong relationship that you would have with your bird.
Yes, most definitely. I personally very much like the idea that I have, little dinosaurs living in my home. and I think calling them little dinosaurs helps remind me that, it's not a dog, that it is a parrot. And it's endlessly fun to watch them play, watch them learn, teach them things. Yeah, it's something that I fell in love with when I was younger. I had my first parakeet like as a child, and he was a total character and learned to say, 35 or 40 different things. And I loved birds from there on out. So if you're interested in a relationship like that is challenging, but that brings kind of so much reward when you have a bond with a parrot, by all means look into it. If you're in the St. Louis region, look into fostering or look to see if there are any local bird rescues in your area and get involved, because they're a lot of fun. There's always a lot of learning that still goes on with parrots.
on just on the science side of things, with veterinary care, with medical care. There's new things are changing all the time. We're learning more about birds every year, and that keeps it interesting as well. There's still a mystery to them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this sounds like a whole nother level of a relationship you have with birds, because it's lifelong, possibly, and complex. Did we want to talk a little bit about cages? And I think we got about 10 or so minutes.
Yeah, so we could have some, we could talk a little bit about what we focus on in terms of what we consider to be like really excellent parrot care.
Yeah, great.
Do you want to start with, like, we already mentioned the seed diet. So fortified pelleted diets are definitely what you want. They're nutritionally balanced for your parrot. And of course you want to fortify that diet with offering fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. Sometimes it takes birds months or years to want to touch those fresh vegetables, but offering them on a regular basis continually, hopefully you'll see some progress.
And then cage setup is extremely important too. Again, a lot of times we have birds surrendered to us either because of behavioral problems, but then when we reflect on the environment that the bird was kept in, it's usually because they weren't in a space where they had that enrichment that they needed. You think about macaws, for example, in the wild, they will fly 20 miles a day on average. And now, you know, you have that same bird, whether captive bred or not, in a cage, in a house. And that has got to be psychologically jarring. So you need to provide toys. You need to provide things to address preening behavior, allow them to destroy, allow them to forage. Foraging is a great way to feed your birds too. You can set up different puzzles within their cages to keep them busy and keep their minds alert. And then exercise as well, whether it's having a swing or a ladder to climb on, time outside their cage. We recommend lots of time outside, supervised outside their cage, where they can explore and they can, you know, be a part of your family as well. So it's really about having a cage set up that is going to be stimulating and safe, but then also having a home set up as well where they can, you know, continue to live out those bird behaviors while being captive and living within a home with the family.
Yeah, kind of thinking about, like with cats, some of them have catios and some of them are
exactly
kind of complex where they can kind of, I'm kind of envisioning the birds could maybe fly through the tube or something.
Yeah. I would recommend go to our website as well. We have some wonderful pictures and resources of how to set up a cage, because I know it can be daunting. We share examples on social media all the time too. It's like our cribs, like our version of MTV Cribs, but for birds. So make sure you check those out if you're interested in learning more.
Yeah, go ahead and give your webpage now and we'll give it at the end too.
Yeah, so it's staravian.org. And from there, you can find a lot of resources on parrots, parrot care, different types of parrots, what they're known for. And then, of course, all of the parrots we have in the rescue that are available for adoption.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to hear about some of your events that you've had or will have. And I think we touched upon it a little bit. But yeah, what kind of a fundraising events do you have or other events do you attend?
We love getting out in the public. It's our favorite thing to do. And any of your St. Louis listeners, St. Louis puts on a huge vegan festival every year. And we've been there the past 2 years. We bring some of our own birds, our personal birds. We interact with the public. We will allow the public to handle our birds. And most importantly, we do education. So we'll answer questions. We'll talk about what it means to foster or adopt or volunteer for STAR. So come see us at Vegan Fest. It's usually every October in St. Louis. We've got a great pizza restaurant here too that has amazing vegan pizza. We just did a fundraiser for STAR. We've had partnerships with various pet stores. We love getting out in the community when we have different festivals and we'll set up a booth. Really, enrichment and outreach is very important to start.
Yeah, I think it's great you're out there getting the word out, because it sounds like people really need to hear about, even people who want to keep their birds. Maybe mm-hmm. they're not, they don't know what to feed them and thought they were feeding them the right thing and or didn't realize they need to take them to the vet. So,
yeah. Oh, yes. And we are more than happy to help members of the public when they have, if they have questions just about their own personal birds or anything like that. We do field some of those questions as well. Or we, you know, would recommend that they would go to a vet if they need to. But yeah, we're happy to help. We want parrots to stay in their homes yep. And be happy and healthy.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, similar what we say for cats and dogs, adopt, don't shop. And you had mentioned too yeah. that you know, getting a bird who's close to your age, since they do tend to have a similar lifespan as ours. So I think those are really great suggestions. Yeah, let's talk about the ending segment here, vegan tips. We had some tips you were going to share with us about birds.
Yeah, birds love to be part of the family and interact. And, you know, like having a vegan home, I know that I can cook or make a salad and I can include my birds and share some of it with them. There are tons of recipes online too, where you can cook for you and for your bird. It's okay to give them people food if it's healthy people food, right? If it's fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grain pasta, like make that part of your experience and include that your bird in some of those activities when you're preparing your meals.
That's really cool. Like, as someone who's also studied nutrition, like I'm gonna have to look up some. Even though I don't have a bird, I still am curious, like about the recipes that are for yeah. birds that you to share. That's yeah. really neat.
And it's really important. Honestly, it's an important process to go through when you're working on bonding with your parrot, mm-hmm. because when parrots bond with each other, they eat together. They quote unquote like kind of feed each other. So. When you sit down and have a meal and you're sharing part of your meal with your parrot, that's an incredible bonding experience.
Are birds mostly vegan, or is it by their humans' choice kind of thing?
It depends. Parrots love cheese, but it's not good for them. they can't process it. They can eat eggs on occasion. That's okay. Primarily, I would say they're vegan, and they can be vegan. If I know some people buy vegan dog or cat food, you can keep a bird and keep them vegan in your house and they would be healthy, as long as you have a balanced diet with the right nutrients based in a high grade pellet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's good to know. We have a few more minutes. I kind of wanted to hear maybe a story about an animal, one of the birds that you'd like to tell us about.
There are so many.
Is Rose one you were thinking about?
Yeah, we could talk about Rose. A sad story with a happy ending. So we got a call from a good Samaritan, honestly, who lived in the downtown St. Louis area and was taking his trash out last winter. And he saw a bird cage with birds in it sitting in the dumpster. So he called our resource line. It was forwarded to me. I called him back, found out that he was just minutes from my house, and went over and met him in that parking lot. And sure enough, there was a terrible cage, small cage in the trash with two budgies in it. One of them unfortunately had passed by the time that we got to him, but the other one was cold. She was cold, but she was okay. And so we took her in. I took her to the director of Star's house. She had a cage ready to go for her. And we named her Rose, like Rose from Titanic, because she was with her Jack, you know, until the end. Rose turned out to be a lively little girl with a lot of personality. Cute as can be. And if I'm remembering right, she went to her forever home, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah. So, you know, Rose and Jack were once regarded as trash, and now Rose is a loving member of a family. And it just, you know, makes it all worth it.
Yeah, you were so quick acting to be able to rescue her.
It's
gotta be so hard to see those kind of scenarios over and over, but it sounds like you're able to hold like the good outcomes that come later in your heart.
You see bad things, but I think it just drives you to understand the importance and be more passionate about what we do.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carly and Aaron, for being here and telling us all about STAR and about just in general about different exotic birds and all the work you do. I really appreciate it, and I've really learned a lot.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. And again, we want to encourage your listeners, if they, you know, think that they're interested in parrots at all, look for a rescue near you and get involved. There is a serious need for parrot rescue organizations out there, and we could always use additional fosters and volunteers.
And if you're in St. Louis, come see us at an event. We're out in the public, and we'd love to meet you and talk more.
Please do.
Yeah, let's hear your webpage again.
So it's www.staravian.org.
Great. And I will, so there's going to be a KBOO episode page for this show. So I'll definitely link your webpage and social media. I know you're on Facebook, I think. Are you on any other social media?
We're on everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. TikTok, so I'll try to link
YouTube, Insta, Facebook, you name it.
So I will link as much as I can, especially at least Facebook and Instagram. And I know you have a lot of great resources on your website. And I also, I know there is an Oregon Avian Rescue too. I will link that if people want to, you know, find out more locally what's going on if they have an interest in getting involved.
Fantastic.
Well, you've been listening to That Vegan Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. And don't forget to support our special programming campaign by becoming a member of KBOO today at kboo.fm/give. We look forward to talking again next month. I'll be on again on the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. on KBOO Portland.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/kboomradio.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/kboo.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kboo radio.
We also provide content to the Free Music Archive,
an interactive library of high-quality legal audio downloads.
That's at freemusicarchive.org/curator/KBOO.
You can find all this and more on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Thanks for listening.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy viernes 26 de mayo del 2023. El ejército de Ucrania dice que sus fuerzas todavía controlan partes de Bakhmut y están tratando de rodear la ciudad oriental diezmada luego de que los mercenarios del grupo Wagner afirmaron que capturaron completamente a esta ciudad después de meses de sangrientas batallas. Wagner dijo que sus fuerzas partirán de la ciudad desde el jueves hasta el primero de junio,